83. Crimson to Break. As the duly appointed keepers of the perfect gems, we of the Else Callers have taken the burden of protecting the ruby nicknamed Honor's Drop. Let it be recorded. From Drawer 2010, Zircon. Adolin Colin washed his face with a splash of cold water, then rubbed it clean with a wash rag. He was tired. He'd spent much of the night fretting about Shallan's failure to return. Below, in the shop proper, he could hear the others stomping about as they made last-minute preparations for the assault. An assault on the palace, his home for many years. He took a deep breath. Something was wrong. He fidgeted, checking his belt knife, the emergency bandages in his pocket. He checked the glyph ward Shallan had made him at his request, determination, wrapped around his forearm. Then he finally realized what was bothering him. He summoned his shard blade. It was thick at the base, as wide as a man's palm, and the front waved like the ripples of a moving eel. The back had small crystalline protrusions growing out of it. No sheath could hold a weapon like this, and no mortal sword could imitate it, not without growing unusably heavy. You knew a shard blade when you saw one. That was the point. Adolin held the weapon before him in the lavatory, looking at his reflection in the metal. I don't have my mother's necklace, he said, or any of the other traditions I used to follow. I never really needed those. I've only ever needed you. He took a deep breath. I guess you used to be alive. The others say they can hear your screaming if they touch you, that you're dead, yet somehow still in pain. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about that, but thank you. Thank you for assisting me all these years. And if it helps, I'm going to use you to do something good today. I'll try to always use you that way. He felt better as he dismissed the blade. Of course, he carried another weapon, his belt knife, long and thin. A weapon intended for stabbing armored men. It had felt so satisfying to shove it through Sadius's eye. He still didn't know whether to feel ashamed or proud. He sighed, checked himself in the mirror, then made another quick decision. When he walked down the steps to the main room a short time later, he was wearing his Colin uniform. His skin missed the softer silk and better form of the tailored outfit, but he found he walked taller in this one, despite the fact that a part of him, deep down, worried he didn't deserve to bear his father's glyphs any longer. He nodded to Elikar, who was speaking with the strange woman known as High Marshal Azure. My scouts have been driven back, she said, but they saw enough, Your Majesty. The Voidbringer army is here in its strength. They'll attack today or tomorrow for certain. Well, Elikar said, I suppose I understand why you did what you had to in taking control of the guard. I can't very well have you hanged as a usurper. Good work, High Marshal. I appreciate that. Shallan, Kaladin, Scar, and Drahi were standing with a palace map. They needed to memorize the layout. Adolin and Elikar, of course, already knew it. Shallan had chosen not to change out of the fetching white outfit she'd been wearing earlier. It would be more functional for an assault than a skirt. Storms, there was something about a woman in trousers and a coat. Elikar left Azure to take reports from some of her men. Nearby in the room, a few light-eyed men saluted him, the High Lords he and Adolin had revealed themselves to the night before. All they'd needed to do was walk away from the spheres powering their illusions, and their true faces had become manifest. Some of these men were opportunists, but many were loyalists. They'd brought some 100 men-at-arms with them, not as many as Kaladin had brought from the Wall Guard, but still Elikar seemed proud of what he had done in gathering them, as well he should. Together, he and Adolin joined the Radiance near the front of the shop. Elikar waved for the High Lords to join them, then spoke firmly. Is everyone clear? Elikar asked. Storm the palace, Kaladin said. Seize the Sunwalk, cross to the Oathgate platform, hold it while Shallan tries to drive away the Unmaid like she did in Yubithiru. Then we activate the Oathgate and bring troops to Kolinar. The control building is completely overgrown with that black heart, Your Majesty, Shallan said. I don't truly know how I drove away the Midnight Mother, and I certainly don't know that I'll be able to do the same here. But you're willing to try? The king asked. Yes. She took a deep breath. Adolin squeezed her on the shoulder reassuringly. Windrunner, the king said, the duty I give you and your men is to get Queen Aesudan and the heir to safety. If the Oath Gate works, we take them that way. If not, you must fly them out of the city. Adolin glanced at the High Lords, who seemed to be taking all of this, the arrival of Knights Radiant, the king's decision to storm his own palace, in stride. He knew little of how they felt. Voidbringers, Everstorm, corrupted Spren in the city. Eventually, you stopped being shocked at what happened to you. Are we sure this path across the Sunwalk is the best way? Kaladin asked, pointing at the map Drahi was holding. He moved his finger from the palace's eastern gallery along the Sunwalk onto the Oathgate platform. Adolin nodded. It's the best way to the Oathgate. Those narrow steps up the outside of that plateau would be murder to storm. Our best chance is to go up the palace's front steps, bring down the doors with our shard blades, and fight through the entryway to the eastern gallery. From there, you can go up to the right to reach the king's quarters, or go straight across the Sunwalk. I don't relish fighting along this corridor, Kaladin said. We have to assume that the Fused will join the battle on the side of the palace guard. It's possible I can distract them if they do come, Shallan said. Kaladin grunted and didn't complain further. He saw, as Adolin did, this wasn't going to be an easy fight. There were a lot of choke points the defenders could use. But what else could they do? In the distance, drums began sounding. From the walls. Kaladin looked toward them. Another raid? One of the High Lords asked. Worse, Kaladin said, as behind them Azure cursed softly. That's the signal that the city's under attack. Azure pushed out the front doors of the tailor's shop, and the rest of them followed. Most of the 600 men here belonged to the wall guard, and some stepped toward the distant walls, gripping spears and shields. Steady, men, Azure called. Your Majesty, the bulk of my soldiers are dying on the wall in a hopeless fight. I'm here because Stormblessed convinced me that the only way to help them is to take that palace. So if we're going to do it, the time is now. We march, then, Elokar said. High Marshal, Bright Lords, pass the word to your forces. Organize ranks. We march on the palace at my command. Adolin turned as some Fused coursed through the sky along the distant wall. Enemy surge binders. Storms. He shook his head and hurried over to Yokska and her husband. They had watched all this, the arrival of an army on their doorstep, the preparations for an assault, with bewilderment. If the city holds, Adolin said, you'll be fine. But if it falls, he took a deep breath. Reports from other cities indicate that there won't be wholesale slaughter. The Voidbringers are here to occupy, not exterminate. I'd still suggest you prepare to flee the city and make your way to the Shattered Plains.
The Shattered Plains? Yokska asked, aghast. But Bright Lord, that's hundreds and hundreds of miles.
I know, he said, wincing. Thank you so much for taking us in. We're going to do what we can to stop this. Nearby, Elokar approached the timid Ardent who had come with Azure. He had been hurriedly painting glyph wards for the soldiers and jumped as Elokar took him by the shoulder and shoved an object into his hand.
What's this? The Ardent asked, nervous. It's a span raid, Elokar said. A half hour after my army marches, you are to contact Urethiru and warn them to get their forces ready to transfer here via the Oath Gate.
I can't use a Fabriel. The Screamers...
Steady, man. The enemy may be too preoccupied by their attack to notice you. But even if they do, you must take the risk. Our armies must be ready. The fate of the city could depend on this.
The Ardent nodded, pale. Adolin joined the troops, calming his nerves by force. Just another battle. He'd been in dozens, if not hundreds, of those. But storms, he was used to empty fields of stone, not streets. Nearby, a small group of guardsmen chatted softly.
We'll be fine, one of them was saying.
He was a shorter man, clean-shaven, though he had strikingly hairy arms.
I tell you, I saw my own death up there on the wall.
She streaked toward me, lance held right toward my heart. I looked in those red eyes and I saw myself dying. Then, he was there. He shot from the tower window like an arrow and crashed into the Voidbringer. That spear was meant for my life and he changed fate, I tell you. I swear he was glowing when he did it.
We're entering an era of gods, Adolin thought.
Elokar raised his shard blade high and gave the command. They marched through the city, passing worried refugees. Rows of buildings with doors shut tight, as if in preparation for a storm. Eventually, the palace rose before the army like an obsidian block. The very stones seemed to have changed color. Adolin summoned his shard blade, and the sight of it seemed to give comfort to the men nearby. Their march took them toward the northern section of the city, near the city wall. Here, the fused were visible, attacking the troops. A strange thumping started, and Adolin took it as another set of drums until a head crested the top of the wall nearest them. Storms! It had an enormous stone wedge of a face that reminded him of that of some great shell beast, though its eyes were just red spots glowing from deep within. The monster pulled itself up by one arm. It didn't seem quite as tall as the city walls, but it was still enormous. Fused buzzed about as it swatted along the wall, spraying defenders like kremlings, then smashed a guard tower. Adolin realized that he, along with much of their force, had stopped to stare at the daunting sight. The ground trembled as stones tumbled down a few blocks away, smashing into buildings.
"Keep moving," Azure called. "Storms, they're trying to get in and beat us to the palace."
The monster ripped apart the guard tower, then with a casual flip, tossed a boulder the size of a horse toward them. Adolin gaped, feeling powerless as the rock inexorably hurtled toward him and the troops. Kaladin rose into the air on a streak of light. He hit the stone and rolled with it, twisting and tumbling in the air. His glow diminished severely. The boulder lurched. It somehow changed momentum, tossed away from Kaladin like a pebble flicked off the table. It crested the city wall, narrowly missing the monster that had thrown it. Adolin faintly heard Spren begin to scream, but that was drowned out by the sounds of rock falling and people on the streets shouting. Kaladin renewed himself with Stormlight from his pack. He was carrying most of the gemstones they'd brought from Urethiru, a wealth from the Emerald Reserve to use in their mission and in opening the Oathgate. Drahi rose into the air beside him, then Scar, who had lashed Shallan upward as well. Adolin knew she was basically immortal, but it was still strange to see her here, on the front lines.
"We'll distract the fused,"
Kaladin shouted to Adolin, pointing at a group of figures flying through the air in their direction.
"And, if we can, we'll seize the Sunwalk. Get in through the palace and meet with us in the Eastern Gallery."
They zipped off. In the near distance, the monster started pounding on the gates there, cracking and splintering the wood.
"Forward!"
Azure yelled. Adolin charged, running up beside Elokar and Azure. They reached the palace grounds and surged up the steps. At the top, soldiers in very similar uniforms, black and a darker blue but still Colin, withdrew, shutting the palace's front doors.
"Kingsguard!"
Adolin shouted, pointing at a group of men in red who had been designated as Elokar's honor guard.
"Be sure to watch the king's flanks as he cuts. Don't let the enemy strike at him as the door falls."
Men crowded up the steps, taking positions along the front of the palace's front porch. They held spears, though some were light-eyed. Adolin, Azure, and Elokar each went to a separate door atop the steps. Here, the front of the palace roof, held up by thick columns, shielded them from the stones that the creature was flinging. Teeth gritted, Adolin rammed his blade into the crack between the thick wooden palace door and the wall. He swiped upward quickly, cutting through both hinges and the bar that had been thrown on the inside. After another slice down the other side freed the door, he stepped back into position. It fell inward with a crash. Immediately, the enemy soldiers inside rammed spears outward, hoping to catch Adolin. He danced back and didn't dare swing. Wielding a shard blade with one hand was a challenge, even when you didn't have to worry about hitting your own men. He skipped to the side and let the wall guard attack the doorway. Adolin instead moved over beside a group of soldiers who had come with High Lord Yuramil. Here, Adolin cut through a section of the wall, making an improvised doorway that the soldiers shoved open. He moved down the long porch, opening another, then a third. That done, he peeked in on Elokar, who had stepped through his felled door and was now inside the palace.
He swept about himself with his blade in a one-handed grip, shield held in the other. He opened a pocket in the enemy soldiers, having killed dozens already.
Careful, Elokar, Adolin thought. Remember, you don't have plate.
Adolin pointed at a platoon of soldiers.
Reinforce the King's Guard and make sure he doesn't get overwhelmed. If he does, shout for me.
They saluted, and Adolin stepped back. Azure had cut down her door, but her shard blade wasn't as long as the other two. She was leading a more conservative attack, cutting the ends off spears as they rammed out toward her men. As he watched, she stabbed an enemy soldier who tried to push through. Remarkably, his eyes didn't burn, though his skin did go a strange ashen gray as he died.
Blood of my fathers, Adolin thought. What's wrong with her blade?
Even with all the open doorways, getting into the palace was slow going. The men inside had formed shield wall rings around the doorways, and the fighting mostly happened with men using short spears to stab at each other. Some platoons of wall guard brought in longer pikes to break the ranks of defenders, preparing for a surge.
You men ever flank-shielded a shard-bearer?
Adolin said to the nearest squad of soldiers.
No, sir, said one of the men, but we've done the training. It'll have to do,
Adolin said, taking his blade in two hands.
I'm going in that center hole. Stay close and keep the spears off my sides. I'll be careful not to catch you in my sweeps. Yes, sir, their squad leader said.
Adolin took a deep breath, then approached the opening. The interior bristled with spears, like the proverbial white spine's den. At Adolin's instruction, a soldier on his side faced his men and did a countdown with one hand. As the last finger dropped, the soldiers at the doorway fell back. Adolin charged through into the palace entry hall, with its marble floors and high vaulted ceilings. The enemy thrust a dozen spears at him. He ducked low, taking a slice on the shoulder as he did a two-handed sweep, cutting a group of soldiers at the knees. The enemy dropped, their legs ruined by the shard blade. Four men followed him in and raised shields at his sides. Adolin attacked forward, hacking the fronts off spears, cutting at hands.
Storms, the men he fought were too silent.
They'd cry in pain if stabbed or grunt with exertion, but otherwise seemed muted, as if the darkness smothered their emotions. Adolin took his blade in an overhead grip and fell into stone stance, swiping down with precise cuts, felling man after man in a careful, controlled set of strikes. His soldiers protected his flanks while the wide reach of the blade protected his front. Eyes burned. The shield line wavered.
Fall back 3 steps!
Adolin shouted to his men, then transitioned to wind stance and swept outward with wide, flowing sweeps. In the passion and beauty of dueling, he sometimes forgot how terrible a weapon shard blades were. Here, as he rampaged among the faltering line, it was all too obvious. He killed 8 men in a moment and completely destroyed the defensive line.
Go!
He shouted, pointing with his blade. Men surged through the doorway and seized the ground just inside the entry hall. Nearby, Elokar stood tall, his narrow shard blade glittering as he called commands. Soldiers fell, dying and cursing, the true sounds of battle, the price of conflict. The enemy finally broke, falling back through the entry hall, which was too large to hold, toward the narrower hallway leading to the eastern gallery.
Pull out the wounded, Azure called, stepping in. 7th Company, hold that far side of the room, make sure they don't try to rush back in. 3rd Company, sweep the wings and make sure there aren't any surprises.
Curiously, Azure had removed her cloak and wrapped it half around her left arm. Adolin had never seen anything like it. Perhaps she was accustomed to fighting in plate. Adolin got some water, then let a surgeon bandage the shallow cut he'd taken. Though the depths of the palace felt like caverns, this entryway was glorious. Walls of marble, polished and reflective, grand staircases and a bright red rug down the center. He'd burned that as a child once, playing with a candle. Cut bandaged, he joined Azure, Elokar, and several of the High Lords who were studying the wide corridor that led to the Eastern Gallery. The enemy had formed an excellent shield wall here. They'd settled in, and men in the 2nd rank had crossbows ready and waiting.
That's going to be crimson to break, Azure said. We'll fight for every inch.
Outside, the crashing at the gate finally grew silent.
They're in. Adolin guessed. That breach isn't far from here.
High Lord Shaddai grunted.
Maybe our enemies will turn against one another? Can we hope the Voidbringers and the Palace Guard will start fighting each other?
No, Elokar said. The forces that have darkened the palace belong to the enemy who now fights quickly to reach us. They know the danger the Oathgate presents.
Agreed, Adolin said. This palace will soon be swarming with Parchment troops.
Gather your men, Elikar said to the group. Azure has command of the assault. High Marshal, you must clear this hallway.
One of the High Lords looked at the woman and cleared his throat, but then decided not to say anything. Grim, Azure commanded archers to use short bows to try to soften the enemy. But that shield wall was built to hold out against arrows, so Azure gave the order and her men advanced against the fortified enemy. Adolin looked away as the corridor became a meat grinder, crossbow bolts smacking against men in waves. The wall guard had shields too, but they had to risk advancing, and a crossbow could punch. Adolin had never been good at this part of battlefield fighting. Stormont, he wanted to be at the front, leading the charge. The rational part of him knew that would be stupid. You didn't risk your shardbearers in such a charge, not unless they had plate.
Your Majesty, an officer called to Elikar, crossing the entryway. We found an oddity.
Elikar nodded for Adolin to take care of it, and, glad for the distraction, he jogged over to meet up with the man.
What?
Closed door to the palace garrison, the man said. Rigged to lock from the outside.
Curious. Adolin hiked after the man, passing an improvised triage station, where a couple of surgeons knelt among pain sprains, seeing to men who had been wounded in the initial assault. They'd be far busier once the push down the hallway was finished. To the west of the entryway was the palace garrison, a large housing for soldiers. A group of Azure's men were studying the door, which had indeed been rigged to lock shut from the outside with a metal bar. Judging from the splintered wood, whatever was inside had tried to get out.
Open it,
Adolin said, summoning his shard blade. The soldiers cautiously lifted aside the bar, then eased open the door, one holding out some spheres for light. They didn't find monsters, but a group of dirty men in palace guard uniforms. They had gathered at the noise outside, and at seeing Adolin, a few of them fell to their knees, letting out relieved praises to the Almighty.
Your Highness?
Said a younger Alethi man with captain's knots on his shoulder.
Oh, Prince Adolin, it is you. Or is this somehow a cruel deception?
It's me, Adolin said. Sidon? Stormsman, I barely recognize you through that beard. What happened?
Sir, something's wrong with the Queen. First she killed that Ardent, and then executed Bright Lord Cavies.
He took a deep breath.
We're traitors, sir.
She called the guards, sir, another man said. Locked us in here because we wouldn't obey. Practically forgot about us.
Adolin breathed out a relieved sigh. The fact that the entire guard hadn't simply gone along with her, well, it lifted a burden from his shoulders, one he hadn't realized he'd been carrying.
We're taking back the palace, Adolin said. Gather your men, Sidon, and meet up with the surgeons in the main entryway. They'll look you over, get you some water, take your reports.
Sir! Sidon said. If you're storming the palace, we want to join you.
Many of the others nodded.
Join us? You've been locked in here for weeks, men. I don't expect that you're fit for combat.
Weeks? Sidon said. Surely it's only been a few days, Bright Lord.
He scratched at a beard that seemed to argue with that sentiment.
We've only eaten, what, 3 times since being thrown in here?
Several of the others nodded.
Take them to the surgeons, Adolin said to the scouts who had fetched him. But get spears for the ones who claim to be strong enough to hold them. Sidon, your men will be reserves. Don't push yourselves too hard.
Back in the main entryway, Adolin passed a surgeon working on a man in a palace guard uniform. To the surgeons, it didn't matter if you were an enemy. They were helping any who needed their attention. That was fine, but this man stared up with glazed eyes and didn't cry or groan like a wounded man should. He only whispered to himself.
I know him, too, Adolin realized, searching for the name.
Dodd?
That's it. That's what we called him, anyway.
He reported to the king what he'd found. Ahead, Azure's men were making a final push to claim the hallway. They'd left dozens dying, staining the carpet a darker shade of red. Adolin had the distinct sense that he could hear something. Over the din of the fighting, over the shouts of men echoing against the walls, a quiet voice that somehow cut to his soul.
Passion, sweet passion.
The palace guard finally relinquished the hallway, retreating through 2 sets of broad double doors at the other end. Those would lead to the eastern gallery. The doors weren't very defensible, but the enemy was obviously trying to buy as much time as possible. Some soldiers cleared bodies out of the way, preparing the way for Adolin and Elikar to cut down the doors.
The wood, however, started shaking before they could strike. Adolin backed up, presenting his blade in wind stance by habit, ready to strike at what came through. The door opened, revealing a glowing figure.
"Stormfather," Adolin whispered.
Kaladin shone with a powerful brilliance, his eyes beacons of blue, streaming with stormlight. He gripped a glowing metallic spear that was easily 12 feet long. Behind him, Skaar and Drahi also glowed brilliantly, looking little like the affable bridgeman who had protected Adolin on the shattered plains.
"The gallery is secure,"
Kaladin said, stormlight puffing from his lips.
"The enemy you pushed back has fled up the steps. Your Majesty, I suggest you send Azure's men onto the Sunwalk to hold it."
Adolin ducked into the eastern gallery, followed by a flood of soldiers, Azure calling commands. Straight ahead was the entrance to the Sunwalk, an open-sided walkway. On it, Adolin was surprised to see not only guard corpses, but three prominent bodies in blue. Kaladin, Skaar, Drahi.
Illusions?
"Worked better than fighting them off," Shallan said, stepping up to his side. "The flying ones are distracted by the fighting at the city wall, so they left the moment they thought the bridgeman had fallen."
"We pushed another force of palace guards back into the monastery first," Kaladin said, pointing. "We're going to need an army to scrape them out." Azure looked to Elikar, who nodded, so she started giving the commands. Shallan clicked her tongue, prodding at Adolin's bandaged shoulder, but he assured her it was nothing serious. The king strode through the gallery, then looked up the broad stairs.
"Your Majesty," Kaladin called. "I'm going to lead a force up to the royal chambers," Elikar said. "Someone needs to find out what happened to Aes Sedan, what happened to this whole storming city."
The glow faded from Kaladin's eyes, his stormlight running low. His clothing seemed to droop, his feet settling more solidly on the ground. He suddenly seemed a man again, and Adolin found that more relaxing.
"I'll go with him,"
Kaladin said softly to Adolin, handing him the pack of emeralds, after picking out two brilliant ones for himself.
"Take Skaar and Drahi and get Shallan to the Unmade."
"Sounds good," Adolin said.
He picked out some soldiers to go with the king. A platoon from the Wall Guard, a handful of the armsmen the Highlords had brought. And, after some thought, he added Sidon and half a platoon of the men who had been imprisoned in the palace.
"Those troops refused the queen's orders," Adolin said to Elikar, nodding to Sidon. "They seem to have resisted the influence of whatever's going on in here, and they'll know the palace better than the Wall Guard."
"Excellent,"
Elikar said, then started up the steps.
"Don't wait for us. If Brightness Devar is successful, go right to Yubithiru and bring our armies back."
Adolin nodded, then gave Kaladin a quick salute, tapping his wrists together with hands and fists. The Bridge Four salute.
"Good luck, Bridge Boy."
Kaladin smiled, his silvery spear vanishing as he gave the salute back, then hustled after the king. Adolin jogged over to Shallan, who was staring along the Sunwalk. Azure had claimed it with her soldiers, but hadn't advanced onto the Oathgate platform beyond. Adolin rested his hand on Shallan's shoulder.
"They're there," she whispered. "Two of them this time. Last night, Adolin, I had to run. The revel was getting inside my head."
"I've heard it," he said, resummoning his blade. "We'll face it together, like last time."
Shallan took a deep breath, then summoned Pattern as a shard blade. She held the blade before herself in a common stance.
"Good form," Adolin said.
"I had a good teacher."
They advanced across the Sunwalk, passing fallen enemy soldiers and a single dead fused pinned to a cleft in the rock by what appeared to be his own lance. Shallan lingered at the corpse, but Adolin pulled her along until they reached the monastery proper. Azure's soldiers advanced at his command, engaging palace guards here to secure a path toward the center. As they waited, Adolin stepped up to the edge of the plateau and surveyed the city. His home. It was falling. The nearest gate had been broken completely open, and parshmen flooded through it toward the palace. Others had taken the walls via ladder crews, and those were pushing down into the city at other points, including near the palace gardens. That enormous stone monstrosity moved along the wall on the inside, reaching up and slapping at guard towers. A large group of people in varied costumes had surged down Talon Way, passing along one of the wind blades. The Cult of Moments? He couldn't be certain what part they'd played, but parshmen were flooding the city in that direction as well.
"We can fix this," Adolin thought. "We can bring our armies in, hold the palace hill, push back to the walls."
They had dozens of shardbearers.
They had Bridge 4 and other surge binders. They could save this city. He just needed to get them here. Soon, Azure approached with a platoon of 30 men.
The pathway inward is secure, though a knot of the enemy still holds the very center. I've spared a few men to scour nearby buildings. It looks like the people you mentioned, the ones who were reveling last night, are slumbering inside. They don't move, even when we prod them.
Adolin nodded, then led the way toward the center of the plateau, Shallan and Azure following. They passed battle lines of Azure's soldiers who were holding the streets. He soon saw the main force of the enemy collected on a path between monastery buildings, barring the way to the Oathgate's control building. Spurred by the urgency of Kolinar's predicament, Adolin took point and swept among the enemy, burning their eyes with his blade. He broke their line, though one straggler almost got in a lucky strike. Scar, fortunately, seemed to appear out of nowhere. The bridgeman caught the blow with his shield, then rammed a spear through the guardsman's chest.
"How many is that I owe you now?" Adolin asked.
"I wouldn't think to keep count, Bright Lord," Scar said with a grin, glowing light puffing from his lips.
Drahi joined them, and they chased the routed enemy past the King's Chapel, finally reaching the control building. Adolin had always known it as the Circle of Memories, merely another part of the monastery. As Shallan had warned, it was overgrown with a dark mass that pulsed and throbbed like a pitch-black heart. Dark veins spread from it like roots pulsating in time with the heart.
"Storms," Drahi whispered. "All right," Shallan said, walking forward. "Guard this area. I'll see what I can do."